Jesus is near here tonight. You don't have to be a born-again Christian for to feel the presence of the Lord. I pray that if you're a sinner here tonight, you may really have the conviction spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ on your heart. If you may be a backslider, I pray that the Lord has been, amen, be anointing you this past while for to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, I pray that this few words and stumbling words may be a joy unto your heart, may relight the fire again within your heart. Now, I can sing, but you see, when I come to testimonies, you'll hear a tune, all right. I mightn't have a tune, to go along with the piano or the organ, but you'll hear my knees knocking in a minute. It's not be the spoons, it'll be my knees, because I'm one that I'll be afraid of my testimony. But I pray it here that the Lord may bless it onto your heart here tonight. I'll just bow before the Lord in a wee word of prayer and ask for his help here tonight. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do thank you. You are one of our numbers. For Lord, the promises that you give to us are promises which are on stone. Lord, you are a sure foundation. But Lord, we hold to that promise here tonight. Whether two or three are gathered, O Lord, there you are in the midst. So Lord God, come upon us. Cleanse us afresh beneath the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord God, give a special portion of the Holy Spirit. Hide these few stumbling voices behind the cross and help thee to be only seen. Lord, help your name to be high and lifted up so that all men may be drawn nigh. So, Lord, if there be any without Christ here tonight, that they may call here tonight, what must I do to be saved? We ask it in the Lord's worthy and precious name, asking for a movement and a pressing of the Holy Spirit upon this meeting. Amen. 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 If you just open your Bibles here tonight, Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Now, I'm wired up. The wife always says I am wired to the moon, but I'm just wired here tonight. I'm not used to these things, but I hope everything will be done to the good of the Lord. Psalm number 40, verse 1. Psalm verse, chapter 40. Only going to read a few portions of Scripture here tonight. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The Lord was always looking to hear my cry. For do you know something? I was one of these boys where if I darkened the door of a church, people would have been kind of shocked for to see me coming into the foot of the church. But do you know something? The Lord's always waiting. He's waiting for you tonight for to call upon him. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. I was in a horrible pit. But you know something, the Lord can bring you out of anything. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. There's many people put their trust in everything. But I pray that you may put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, or such as turned aside unto lies. Now, I was told off the last time I brought notes, because I would have just here to breakfast time, so I brought no notes with me here tonight. So hopefully I'll get out for supper time here tonight. But I would just like to open here tonight, is that normally you hear people open and they say they were brought into a Christian home. Well, I wasn't brought into a Christian home. I was brought up in the country. In that country area, although my mother and father was not saved, it was the same as all country ones. You were sent along to hear the gospel. It was kind of in those days, like, I'm not old, don't be getting me wrong, but back in those days, there was places where the gospel was faithfully preached. And I was sent along for to hear the gospel. Now, from a very young age, and I mean very young, I was, let's just say, mischievous. A wee troublemaker, anything to do with bother, Geordie Walker was stuck in the middle of it. But my mother and father, they sent me to hear the gospel. I was sent first thing in the morning at the crack of dawn. And I got fed and watered, and I was sent to the Brethren Hall. Now, there's two places that you don't want to be sent and not to hear the gospel. And, well, I was sent along to the Gospel Hall, and the next one was the Free Presbyterian Church. So it was tough for Geordie. I didn't want to hear the gospel and go for an easy life, because in those days you had to learn. It wasn't one of these things where you turned up in Sunday school, teacher, I learned nothing. The brother in Sunday school, they would have said nothing. But let's just say you wanted to learn your verses. And even we, Geordie Walker, that would have clotted many a bricks at the Brethren Hall at the weekend, he had to learn his verses in the time that he was inside the Brethren. So I was sent along to the Brethren Sunday school in the morning. Geordie was sent along to the church, Free Presbyterian Church in Georgia Street in Lurgan. Then in the afternoon, he was sent along to another Sunday school. And then again that night, I was sent along for to hear the gospel. So there you go, Geordie. I didn't want to hear the gospel, but I got it four times in each ear of hearing the gospel. But you know something? As much as I didn't want to hear the gospel, it's the little small grains that stuck into my mind. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I learned that from knee-high grasshopper. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Do you know, son, if we were, even at the start of the opening prayer, if we were to all go home, you would have got a ministry here tonight. You know that you need to be saved. It's up to yourself to make that choice. If you're a born-again Christian, you should be going on with the Lord. Not just taking the armour of God and pitching it in the corner and doing nothing for to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's many, many people in our churches need to stop their gurning. And if there's an old saying, if they stop their gurning, or if they've done as much gurning as they did praying, there'll be a revival tomorrow. There's a country saying that, found that there to be powerful true. But you know something? I was sent along for to hear the gospel meetings. Of course, we had to get it in the middle of the week as well. There was a wee thing called Charity's Meeting. Geordie Walker was sent along to lift. Christopher Clydesdale, there was another meeting that was sent along to lift. Boys, this was depressing onto my heart for to get to this here. Of course, they got to know who was starting to pitch the bricks at the Brethren Halls and whatnot. And they didn't say a word onto me. But you know, son, they put grills up along the side. And they prayed for my heart and they prayed for my soul. Although there was a time when Robbie Watson, he caught me and he gave me a good clip in the ear. And rightly so. And he brought me to my father's doorstep. And you know, son, I was cringing of what was going to happen. And that was done right. He brought me to the front door. And it wasn't where now if you brought a child to the front door of a parent and said, this child done that, you would have probably got the lip off the parent. But you know, son, my parents wasn't like that there. I got a good tan on that there night because although they weren't saved, but you know, son, they knew that I'd done wrong. It went on in times and I got on through my primary school years and it wasn't long before I started pitching bricks at the primary school. I remember this headmistress, she gave after me this one day and Geordie Walker took a half a brick and threw it at the teacher, just missed her head by a lot of inches and she went out screaming like a banshee out around the teacher's room with a whole crowd of them. And it was a brand new school and Geordie, he thought he would nip out round the corner and he wouldn't be seen. But you know, I ran past the corner and guess what was to my left? It was the staff room where all the teachers were gathered. What's Geordie Walker flying around like a greyhound round there for? And of course on the tail was a teacher screaming her head off. Geordie Walker threw a brick at me. So the next morning I knew what was going to happen. Of course you don't know what normal young fellas from the country do. You wouldn't say a thing to your mom and father. You would have got a good time in there and then. So I walked in. I knew I had done wrong. Just as if you're a sinner here tonight, you know you have done wrong. But you know, son, I knew I was going to make a fate, or I was going to be up for my fate that day. So of course, teacher, come in. Geordie Walker, you were seen throwing a brick. Was that you? I couldn't really tell lies. I said, yes, that was me. I got a tanning by that teacher. I got a tanning by my form teacher. I went to the headmaster, who the headmistress was actually standing in for. I got a tanning by him. My mother was brought up to the school. I was given a tanning by my ma. And then when I went home in disgrace, my father, when he come home from shifts, I got a tanning from him as well. So as a man says, my rear end was like a lighthouse for a fortnight. And it was deservingly so. Do you know something? If you're a sinner, here tonight, the Lord has the right for to take you out and for to put his judgment on you tonight, just exactly as I done there. But maybe you're like me, I laughed it off. I love throwing bricks and cursing and swearing at teachers. I went into primary three and I tried to punch the teachers. It was kind of funny. This one day, I remember Mrs. Grattan, she gave after me and I didn't like being given after. And I got the chair. She says, "What are you at?" I says, "I'm not going to tell you." I went to put the chair up and I went to swing at her. I just missed her. But you know, she knew, even at that time, she said, "I'm going to say to Mrs. Todd what you're doing." Mrs. Todd, I don't know if you know her, but she's our wee church organist. But she was a born-again Christian and she was in our school. And she was a woman to fear. She was only about two hands higher than a duck, but I'm telling you, she could fight like any scrapper 6 foot tall. And she went to her wee drawer, and as the fear as was, she had this one wee drawer, and she pulled it out, and that was where the hard-soled slipper was. And she said, "Georges, you're going to get the slap here tonight, and you know why you've done it?" And then she went on to witness to me. It was one of the first times I minded my mind where somebody had witnessed onto my heart, and it really spoke to me. So in P3, Mrs. Todd, she spoke onto my heart. She still speaks on to me today, even about the bad times, you know, that I went through. She says, "Mind the time, Jordy, I told you to stay to the one side. What did you do? You jumped on the back of the bus." I was only probably primary five or whatever it was. So Jordy Walker was going down the main street, hanging on to the back of the bus that was going to Bambridge. So thankfully I jumped off before it went to Bambridge. But you know, she said in for me, "George, we tried to tell you one thing, and you went and you done the different." Do you know what? That there was the same way as it went on into my teenage years. As soon as somebody told me black, I said white. As soon as somebody said you must be saved, I went the furthest. In fact, I really rebelled against it. I tried to kick against the pricks, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, "You must be saved." I wanted to knock them clean out of the road. Didn't want to hear anything to do with the gospel, because you had to be good for to believe in the gospel. You had to do what you were told for to believe in the gospel. The Lord chastens you for to do good. But you know some. She said, "George, we even knew from then that you were one of these boys that we had to pray for." So things went on in my life in primary school. We changed over. My mum and dad tried to make a townie out of me. We moved into Lurgan, and the same ball happened in the primary school. They weren't used with this wee rough nut coming from the country. Anybody that said boo to me, I wanted to fight. And no matter whether I was two or three, and out in the country, if you picked a fight, it was just a one-on-one. But out in the country, if you picked a fight, it was about two or three come at you. And people usually, well, they just usually give up and got a beating. But Jordy Walker, he went on, fought like a weasel. Again, mum and father, all of this here time, they're saying, "Oh, I have to send these boys for to hear the gospel." So they found new meetings for us to go to. They found new children's meetings and Sunday schools and all the rest. Jordy wanted to rebel. Jordy didn't want to go and hear the gospel at all. Are you here tonight and you're here and you don't really want to be here? Maybe you're here tonight and maybe this is all. I just want to get out that door as quick as I can. You don't want to hear the gospel at all. I pray that here tonight that the Lord is sowing conviction in your heart here tonight. If you're a young person and you're doing all the things wrong, I pray that even what's happened to me, that the Lord Jesus Christ grip you by the neck and save you here tonight and you can see the error of your ways. Maybe you're like me years ago. You didn't see the error of your ways. You didn't want to see the error of your ways. Do you know, son, I pray it here tonight that the light of God may come down and reveal a new thing. Even that was revealed on the Paul. What a sinner and a reprobate that man was. He even killed sinners. Are you here tonight? I don't know what you've done. Maybe you think you've done the unforgivable sin. The Lord Jesus Christ can put that light upon your heart here tonight. And then it's up to you for to answer that call and that light that's shining upon you. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. You should know this. But still again, you trample again underneath the gospel, the Word of God, the precious Word of God. God sent his only Son to die for you. If you had a son to your one side or a daughter, would you willingly give them up so that the whole world can be saved? It's a powerful thing for to ask. But the Lord God did it. And he is here tonight calling upon you to be saved. Well, I went on into Lurgan. Jordy Walker was just finishing off his primary school years. Of course, he got into bother and he wasn't allowed to go on any trips at all. For it got into the times when I started to take drink. from an early age, and for the start smoking. It started off, I used to nick the brass fags. He used to get them and put them in his pocket, and I used to nick them. He thought that my mum and dad didn't know, and he didn't know that I was nicking the fags off him. So everybody in our house hadn't a clue what was going on, except one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew what was going on. We got into high school. High school was a culture shock. I don't know if it was a culture shock for the teachers or a culture shock for me. But from the very early days of high school, I was put on a thing called personal report. I was not allowed to move anywhere within the school without a teacher being present, because I would have fought or put a window through or had somebody's legs hanging out the window. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. In fact, the only time, it took them 3 years before they would allow me out of the school. And that time, I wouldn't want to glory in the things of what the devil has done, but maybe glory in the things of what the Lord has saved me from. From an early age, I went and would have drank in that farming thing up in King's Hall. I can't mind what you call it. Maybe some of you boys can help me out. What's that farm? Balmoral Show, that's exactly it. There was a Balmoral Show, and Geordie says, I'm going to hit that for storm. So, of course, he got drink, they got plastered, and the teachers were wondering, because I ran away from the teachers, where do you find Geordie Walker? Of course, I looked in, you know, in the last place. It was one of the last places I looked in. There's Geordie Walker getting plastered in the pub in Balmoral, looking to pick a fight with a sheep and whatnot. That's how silly and stupid I was, getting drunk. But, you know, the teachers pulled me in, and they began to minister me. And then they tried to introduce me to the Scripture Union. And I said, not another one of these here Bible bashing things. But they actually brought me along, and I stuck it for a couple of weeks. But there was a thing that happened in our house then. It really changed. It started to change for the good. Mum and Dad was always going the upward slope, trying to look after their two boys, two head balls, as most people would call them. But you know something? They came back from a mission, and both of them got gloriously saved. From that minute on, Mum began to pray for me. I was a man that did not care what was said to me or about me. I would have sworn up my mother and father. Wouldn't take heed. They say, you know, don't you be drinking. If you bring any drink or you bring any smoke in here, we'll destroy them, put them in the bin. I didn't care what pain I was putting my parents through. Maybe you're here tonight and you're putting your parents through hell on earth. I pray it here tonight that the Lord God is moving in your heart here tonight. Do you know, I didn't care for what was happening in the world at that time. As long as Geordie Walker was enjoying himself, Geordie Walker started to take the drink, Geordie Walker started to take the smoking, and he started to take into the drugs in a big way as well. It started off with the small things. Some people call it a blow or cannabis. I think everybody would know it more as. Then those things began to get into harder things, harder drugs. It was in those times that I started going into full contact kickboxing. It was the times when I started getting into Tai Jitsu and martial arts. Those were the times when I thought I was invincible. As well as being a good laugh in school, everybody was looking up into me. I was a talented fighter. For 9 years I went undefeated without being knocked to the ground. But you know something, no matter how hard you are, the Lord can bring you to your knees. The Lord has different circumstances of bringing you to your knees. I pray that here tonight, that the Lord doesn't have to bring you to your knees for to find out. You don't care. You just rather say, maybe you're here tonight and the mom and father doesn't know that you're drinking a bit out, smoking a bit out, and drugging a bit out. My mom and father didn't know for a few years that I was on to the drugs and the smoking. I could hide it. But again, there's one person that you can't hide it from. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, don't fear the devil who can harm the body. And believe me, the devil can harm the body. Fear the one who can take your soul. Fear God here tonight. Pray that the Lord put the fear in your heart here tonight. I hope I'm not going on here and I get a kicking from the minister here. So just going on, and on to the smoking and the drinking, and the mother and father, they got saved. And Mum would have cried often. She would have come in and I would have given off to Mama. And she would have went on. She wouldn't have said too much. Later on that night, she would have went. And it's the first arrow that went through this body that was impregnable for to hear any consciousness at all. I heard my mum crying in her prayers for me and for my bra. It near melted my heart that night. But again, it was like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was given many a jabs, but he still hardened at his neck and hardened at his heart. So again, Geordie Walker took up the smoking, the drinking, the drugs, and wanted to for the head out and for to have a good time. But you know something? It wasn't long again before things started speaking onto my heart. I had friends that got shot. I had friends that got killed off motorbikes. All of these things began to add up. And these things I couldn't push to the one side. Then I started going to more meetings. I don't know why for the earth of me. Well, I do know now that the Holy Spirit was tugging me in for to get me underneath the sound of the gospel. And I do thank the Lord, because I think if that hadn't happened, I don't think I would be here tonight for to give the testimony of the Lord. But that is what the Lord has saved me from. Saved me from a death and the drink, and especially drugs and fighting. Things went on. My bra even came up to me and said, Jordan, you know, started talking about the things of the Bible. And I said, I don't want to talk about these things. But he asked about certain things of the scriptures. And because we were brought up in a godly way, I was able to answer him some of these things. And I felt so, so strange. I felt so strange. The conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ was working just that wee bit more. I think the Lord knew it wasn't a hatchet to take my legs away. I had to be taken down slowly but surely. Things went on. And my mom and father was thinking of certain things. You know, what other things can we get to speak on to George? And of course, there's me saying, you know, what other things can they float me to annoy me? Of course, it was things called the Truth Youth Holidays. The Reverend Crane, he was a very godly and sincere man, a man that I suppose I hated with all my heart when I was a young fellow, because he was a minister. He taught the gospel. He was right, and I couldn't like that at all. Couldn't abide it. But you know something? I was sent along to these Truth Youth Holidays. It was a free holiday. Of course, Geordie, he brought his 10 deal of blow or his cannabis along, and all Geordie was looking to do was to get high. As long as he put it to the background and didn't let any of these ones see it, or even his friends next door even smell it, Geordie boy was all right. It came to 1990. Again, Geordie was in the middle of his kickboxing days and his smoking, drinking, all the rest of it. It came till a night, and it was a testimony night. I didn't want to hear anybody preach the gospel. Didn't even want to be in that meeting. In fact, that was many of things. When I was in Castle Welland, when I was in all things, I was busy having the Reverend Crane and Mrs. Crane running about after my tail, trying to get me into the meetings, me hiding somewhere. But you know, that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, he pulled me into that meeting. I was hearing testimony after testimony. I heard about a girl when she lost her mother and her father and some of her relations. Then the Lord spoke of me in such a way that I cannot explain, but the Holy Spirit gripped a hold of my neck. I never felt a fear like it in all of my days. Just in the days leading up to that there, I was leading into the occult. I was learning to call upon spirits, and it helped me in my taijutsu and my fighting. In fact, there was one time where I smashed my elbow in two places on my arm, and still it wasn't until the next day that I felt that my arm was every shape. I was able to fight three fights and for to knock those three boys clean out. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but the devil is a powerful foe. But I'm telling you, if you act against the devil while you're under his service, he'll take you down quicker than a greyhound down that road. I'm telling you, the devil is an awful and wicked deceiver of people. He'll give you power. He will give you strength. But remember this, the devil is mighty, but the Lord God is almighty. Remember that. The devil couldn't die on the cross and be raised again. The Lord Jesus Christ could. He rose again the third day. He has the victory. So many people, I hear them saying, oh, we'll pray for the victory. People, if you're saved, you have victory on your side. I would hope and pray here tonight that you know that in your heart. So, things went on in that meeting. I was undefeated, never knocked to the ground. But that night, I was brought to my knees. Wee Tom Martin, or the Reverend Martin, I find it hard not to call him Wee Tom. Me and Tom know him for a quite long while. I says to the mate, Glenn, I says, away out and tell that boy, I says, I need to get saved now. Glenn took a look at my face, and he didn't know why to laugh or whatever, because I was used to joking, and I knew I didn't like the gospel of being brought for the hear truth. I says, you what? I says, I need to know. And then there was another, but I can't even mind who it was. I went and I gripped him by the neck. I says, go you and get Tom Martin and tell him I want to get saved. So boy ran off, and he got wee Tom. And wee Tom told me afterwards, he said, Jordy, I thought they were having a laugh at me. He said, do you know how many years people, and I mean hundreds of people, have been praying for you? And I just say now that is the fruit that comes from never giving up in your prayers. Never give up in prayers. The Lord can answer over and above that you ask for. Over and above. Wonder if you thinking you're praying for the impossible here tonight. Do you know something? The devil's defeated. The Lord God in 6 days created the heavens and the earth just by the sound of his voice. And you think he can't save you here tonight from whatever sin that you're in? He can save. The land of Judah can and he shall break every chain here tonight. You just have to realize it. So wee Tom comes, shit, Jordy. Says, I can't get over this here. So he was in shock and I was in shock. And we're just starting to walk out the room. Do you know something? I started realizing to my left hand side, I seen people crying. To my right hand side, I seen people crying. I turned around and I said, Tom, people's cracking up around me here. I said, there's people crying left, right, and center. He says, it's the movement of the Holy Spirit, he says. So I goes up the stairs, there's an old girl, she was crying. Went up to the balcony, there was people crying. The Lord God was moving, and not only moving, he was moving in revival. There was more than one person saved that night. Praise the Lord. I pray it will happen here tonight. I went on up into my room, and wee Tom sat beside me at the bed, and I went into the scriptures. Tom led me to the Lord. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. I wasn't afraid of taking a 20-stone man on up a 6'4" and bringing him to the ground like that there. But you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming up onto me. It feared. Such a fear was put in my heart I couldn't understand it. I pray that here tonight, that fear may come and close in this whole meeting here tonight. Whether you're a saved person, not living the life that you should have the fire, defeating the devil at every turn. You should be in the prayer meeting every single chance there is. I can tell you about my times when I was in worshiping the devil. I'm telling you, you did not miss a word against the devil. You're people of God. You have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, and you're not found in the prayer meeting. You're sometimes people blow their nose and they say, I can't go to church here tonight. I had a father that a fortnight before he passed away, and he was crippled with cancer. He said, if I can walk, I will go to the house of God. How much do you love God tonight? I wonder, are you a backslider here tonight and you've lost that first love? Do you know what you've lost? Do you know the leading? You've lost the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty. He's a captain of our host. He is a captain of salvation. If you have problems, he can see everything in front. You can't. Just at that there a minute. Will you turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm sure you know what verse I'm going to tell you. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I'll just read that again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, there's no if and about it, he shall direct your paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, from that moment on, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior, I had no fear. But you know, it was maybe a fear of death I had a little bit of fear of. You know, I have absolutely no fear of what I'm going to meet whenever I go out that door. Because I know I'm going to meet my Father. I'm going to meet my grandparents. Our family circle would be unbroken. It came to another time too. My mother kept on praying for the family circle to be unbroken. My brother came to know the Lord as his own and personal Saviour too. My mom came to that there point where she thought she'd never even see her two boys coming back into the church again. Not only did we come back in again, we came to know the Lord as own and personal Saviour. And the Lord put all the old things behind us. Isn't that wonderful to know? We heard it here tonight a couple of times. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord separated all my evil and wicked sins. He put all my devil worshipping behind me. He put all my kickboxing behind me. All of those devilish things that I wanted for to help me physically. And you look at my belly, you wouldn't ever think. I was kind of fit for nothing now. But do you know, son, the Lord put a new song in my mouth. He took cursings and swearing from my mouth. He put the song of God in my lips. He took the bottle of drink from my hand and he put the Bible, the mighty word of God, in my hand. He established my ways and my goings. But you know something? I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into my life. He saved me. He made a new difference. I keep going. I said, he brought the woman into my life. I'm not saying nothing too bad, but you always laugh and joke. You say, I'm the head of the house, but she's a knack of turns ahead. No, but it's true that the Lord brought a lovely, God-fearing woman onto my heart, and she always spoke onto my heart. She might be the weaker vessel, but you know, little is much when God is in it. So if you're saved and you're looking for a God-fearing a wife or a husband, pray to that their end, because they're encouraging until ourselves. And as much as I laugh and joke about to the wife, I love her with all my heart as much as I love the Lord. And you know, son, the Lord has sent her into my life for to speak onto my life. He's given me three lovely boys. Two of them are saved, and wee Ben, he's two. He'll be coming two on the 15th of November. But I'll just say this onto your heart, and with this I'll close, is that there was a thing that came onto my heart, and it does break my heart when I think of my father. My father was built like a tank. Until there was one week, he said, I'm not feeling the best, Jordy. He said to the doctor, and I knew there was something wrong, because my father never went to the doctor. He wasn't one of these ones that blew his nose and he has to take antibiotics for a couple of months. I knew there was something wrong. He said, doctor, there's something wrong. Doctor said, it's nothing too bad. Before the end of that weekend, he was in intensive care, fighting for his life. The doctor came up and he says, we'll have to do an operation. It's 50-50. So that broke our hearts. Things went on. We need to do an operation. I said, there's no likelihood that he'll even come through this operation. He came through that operation. The Lord brought him back to kind of fight fit again. Of course, the first place that he wanted to be was in the house of God. That was one of the things that spoke onto my heart. Like I said before, there's many people blow their nose and couldn't think they're fit. They're coming through the front doors. But you know something? My father then got the awful news that he had cancer. It was a fight for a long, long time. There was not much that held close to me. I didn't have too many friends, I'd say, whenever I left the world. My father was my mate. Me and him had the same humour. We always slagged my ma off and slagged anybody off. You keep my ma going about the size and shape and all the rest. Well, me and my father had the same wit. We're like two peas in a pod. But as I seen my father failing, seen the chemotherapy bringing him down from skin and bone, even in the hospital, he said, Jordy, he says, I want to go to church this weekend. He spoke hard to me. I wasn't used to crying until I seen my father slowly ebb away. Nothing would have put tear to my eye, but you know, son, I cried with all my heart. Knew my father wasn't going to be with me for too much longer. I came. I told you that my wee boy he's going to be two on the 15th of November. Well, he was born the day before my father passed away. There was only a ward placing them apart. My wife was giving birth in one ward and my father was dying in the next. And I was torn between a rock and a hard place. And I'll say to you here tonight that I pray if you're going through hard times that you may cling to the Lord with all your might. Because in those times it was my only failings in life. I was used with fighting, but you know, I didn't read my Bible again as often as I should have. Or we're up to the hospital day after day seeing my father ebb away. I didn't go to the prayer meeting as much as I did. But again, my father, at the first chance he said, Jordy, says, I want to go to the house of God. Spoke again onto my heart. But as I say, my son was born the previous day. And it was just my father's last words. He said, I want to see my latest grandchild. Of course, it came up and it broke my heart. The hospital said that they couldn't allow it for health and safety reasons. It put an awful heavy burden in my heart. But you know, burdens are lifted at Calvary. The Lord God came again and he spoke unto my heart. The Lord allowed me to grieve. He knew what way my heart was and he allowed me to grieve. And he came after and he comforted my heart. And I came back to know the Lord again in a closer way. It's just like a story was told on to me. Imagine that your heart is like silver and the Lord is trying you with fire. When you see silver, it's a stinking thing. When it's dirty, it's dirty. And there's impurities in it. But when the Lord puts the fire underneath the silver, silver can only be burnt at a certain temperature and then it becomes useless when it's burnt too much. The Lord knew how much for to try me. And you know something, when you put the fire underneath silver, all of the impurities burn away. It burns away so much so that whenever the fire, or you look on top of the silver, that there's a sheen and there's a shine on top of the silver that the Lord can see his reflection off it. And I believe that's what the Lord did in my life. He put me through a sanctification or purification, so I can come to know the Lord in a closer and a more personal way. And you know something, I pray that here tonight, you've heard the gospel sound out. You've heard a backslider, you've heard a sinner, born again Christian, you've heard of what life you should be walking. There's meetings that you should be going to as a norm. But I pray that here tonight, moreover, if you're not saved, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ while he may. The Lord Jesus Christ gripped on me that night. I pray that the Lord may grip you here tonight. But you know, it's between you and the Lord. I find it the hardest thing ever to do for just say, Lord, save me. It is a hard thing. But you know, all the things after that there, the Lord will comfort and he'll direct your ways. He'll lead your paths. I pray it here tonight that may be the call and the answer of your soul here tonight. Amen.